John chapter 8. I want to read several scriptures today having to do with a question of love. You remember that we've been considering this month questions that Jesus asked about himself. And this is one of the questions he asks about himself. But I want to read some other scriptures that go along with it to help us understand and to emphasize this question. Chapter 8. Look at verse 40. Our Savior is speaking to those that professedly are his disciples, that believe in him. And this is what our Savior says to them. But now, you seek to kill me, a man that hath told you the truth, which I heard from God. This did not Abraham. You do the works of your father. They said unto him, we were not born of fornication. We have one father, even God. Jesus said unto them, if God were your father, you would love me. If God were your father, you would love me. Now, 1 Corinthians 16. Verse 41. The salutation of me, Paul, with my own hand. If any man love not the Lord Jesus Christ, let him be accursed, anathema, maranatha. So listen, if any man love not the Lord Jesus Christ, let him be anathema, maranatha. Strong words. Now, in John 21, our Savior has appeared to the disciples again, but this time not behind closed doors, but of all things, he is on the shore and they are in a boat fishing, and the Lord Jesus appears to them. They've been fishing all night, they've caught nothing, and then when they confess that, he says, cast your net on the right side. And when they did, they caught 153 fish, so many that they were not able to draw it up for the multitude of the fishes. Verse 7 now. 21:7. The disciple therefore whom Jesus loved saith unto Peter, it is the Lord. So when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he girded his coat about him, for he was naked, and cast himself into the sea. But when the other disciples came in the little boat, for they were not far from the land, but about 100 yards, dragging the net full of fishes. So when they got out upon the land, they see a fire of coals there, and fish laid thereon, and bread. Jesus saith unto them, bring up the fish which you have now taken. Simon Peter therefore went up and drew the net to land full of great fishes, 153. And for all there were so many, the net was not rent. Jesus saith unto them, come and dine, break your fast. And none of the disciples dared inquire of him, who are you? Knowing that it was the Lord. Jesus cometh and taketh the bread and giveth them, and the fish likewise. This is now the third time that Jesus was manifested to the disciples after that he was risen from the dead. So, when they had broken their fast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" He saith unto him, "Yes, Lord, thou knowest that I love you." He saith unto him, "Feed my lambs." He saith to him again the second time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" He said unto him, "Yes, Lord, thou knowest that I love you." He saith unto him, "Shepherd my sheep." He said unto him the third time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time, "Do you love me?" And he said unto him, "Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you." Jesus said unto him, "Feed my sheep. Verily, verily, I say unto you, when you were young, you girded yourself and walked where you wanted to. But when you shall be old, you shall stretch forth your hands, and another shall gird you and carry you whither you would not." Now this he spake, signifying by what manner of death he should glorify God. Let us speak to the Lord again in prayer. Our Father, we thank you for the Word of God. Let us know that we believe it to be the Word of God. Let us know that there is no book to compare with it. And we thank you for the portions that we've read this morning, telling us about love and profession of love. We are thankful that the answer to the truth as to whether the Lord is love is given us. And we are thankful for this one whom our Lord asked about his love. And we desire to have our hearts searched that we might know about our love as well. So our God, for the many lessons that are contained in these portions, we pray that you shall teach them to us, and let us be those who know whether we love the Lord or not, and what answer we would give him. We confess our sins, be faithful and just to forgive and cleanse, and glorify the name of thy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. This interview that our Savior had with Simon Peter is in reality the restoring of his soul. You know, in Psalm 23, after it says, "The Lord is my shepherd," it says, "He restoreth my soul." The Lord Jesus Christ not only saves souls, but he restores souls. He saves us once and for all, but he restores our souls again and again and again. And this is why some people are confused. They think that when their soul is restored the second and third time, that they're saved all over again. But they're not. They're restored again and again. And what happens is this. If a man is not born again, he is not saved. And if a man has sinned against the Lord and has not confessed his sin and made himself right, then he is not restored to the Lord. Saved? Yes. But in a dangerous position, because those who sin against the Lord and go around flouting themselves and proclaiming strong the doctrine, I have eternal life and I will never perish. It makes no difference what I do. I will go to heaven. Well, it just depends on what you do. If you do certain things, they may reveal that you're not going to heaven. And then, if you do certain things and retain that sin, then the hand of God is upon you. It says concerning those at the church in Corinth who were misbehaving, who were disorderly and unrepentant at the Lord's Supper. He said, because of this, many of you are weak and sickly, and some of you sleep. So here is Peter, and he has grievously sinned against the Lord, and the Lord is restoring his soul. And what is so interesting about this restoration, that it is unlike any other restoration that I've ever read about in the Word of God. You remember when David sinned against the Lord by taking Bathsheba, Uriah the Hittite's wife, guilty of adultery, guilty of murder, and how Nathan was sent to restore his soul, but he restored a soul the way I think it should be restored. He told him what he had done. He said, you are the man, you are the guilty sinner, and this is what is going to happen to you because of the sins that you've committed. Yes, God has forgiven you what you've done, but I want you to understand all the consequences that are involved. In this instance, when the Lord Jesus restored Simon Peter's soul, he did it without mentioning any of the words that he had spoken against the Lord, any of the cursing, the oath that he had falsely taken. He mentioned none of those things. He simply asked the same question in little different words 3 times. He simply went to Simon Peter and he said to him, Simon, son of John, do you love me? And Peter answered 3 times the same thing. Yes, Lord, you know that I love you. I have to tell you a little bit about what it says in the Greek. There are a few different words that are used. There's a little difference in meaning, and it may explain why these words were used, or it may simply be that another word was used, a synonymous word was used, because the Lord wanted to vary, John wanted to vary this incident that he recorded about Peter being restored. But 3 times Peter uses the word phileo when he says, I love you. But 2 times the Lord uses the word agapao, I love you. Now, the distinction is evident when you're looking at it in the Greek, but in English, you can't tell. And if you had to distinguish between the two, the word agapao would be a higher, a more noble love, and the word phileo would be a more intimate, a warmer love. And when the Lord asked Peter the 2 times, Simon, son of John, do you love me? He used the word agapao. And when Peter answered him, he would not use the same word that our Lord used. The Lord said, Peter, do you love me? Agapao. And Peter said, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love you. Phileo. And the 2 time, the Lord used the noble word, and Peter used a warmer word. And finally, the 3 time, the Lord used the same word that Peter had been using. And Peter answered again the same way. So it seems, when we read it, that it's all the same, but there are these small distinctions. And one other thing, when Peter said, Lord, you know all things, you know that I love you, there are two different words that are translated by the same word, know. One of them means you intuitively know it, and the other one means you recognize it, you see it, you perceive it. So when Peter says, you know all things, that's our Savior's intuitive knowledge of his love, and he says, you see that I love you. Now, this interview seemingly was an easy one. This restoration was an easy one. But in the simple way that our Lord restored Peter's soul, it caused him to be grieved in his soul. It brought back to mind the sinful things that he had done, and yet without mentioning those things, his soul is restored by answering the question three times, Lord, you know that I love you. There's no doubt to me that the Savior asked this question three times because Peter denied the Lord three times. The Lord told him in that upper room when Peter said, where are you going? And the Lord told him, he said, you can't follow me now. Peter said, I'm prepared to follow you anywhere. I'll die for you. And the Lord said, before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. And what our Lord said was going to happen did happen. And Peter denied him three times. And for that same reason, the Lord comes and asks him three times, if you love me. He had denied three times that he knew the Lord. And the Lord made him confess three times that he loved him. And in the questions that he asks him, without mentioning them, he brings all the proud boasting of Peter. When Peter said, I'm prepared to go to prison and I'm prepared to die for you, and though all others may deny you, I will never deny you. And he was including all the other apostles. And so the Lord asks him first of all, Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these? And Peter would not say, I love you more than these. He simply said, Lord, yea, you know that I love you. The second time, the Lord asks him if he loves him with that noble love, but he leaves out, do you love me more than these? And Peter still will not answer the way the Lord asked the question. And so the Lord asks the third time, well then, Peter, do you love me? And Peter said, yea, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love you. What is so beautiful is this, that this threefold confession of love for Christ was enough to restore his soul and to restore him to the place of feeding and caring for the sheep, the lambs, the people of God. How remarkable. Our Savior, without going into all that Nathan went into with David, all of it is brought to Peter's attention. He sees his sin. He confesses that sin. And the Lord accepts his testimony that he loves him, and he restores his soul. So this is the background. But a question of love is also important, not only for Peter and for the restoration of his soul, but for the salvation of your soul. I read to you in 1 Corinthians 16 just how important that question is and the answer you give. Paul says this, if any man does not love the Lord Jesus Christ, let him be anathema. That means He's to be cursed. He's to go to hell. If a man does not love the Lord, let him be accursed. Let him go to hell. Let him be condemned. Strong words. And yet, this is the teaching of the Word of God, and this is what it says about all men. Now, what helps us to understand this loving of the Lord Jesus is this. The loving of the Savior proves conclusively that you belong to Him and that you are blessed of God and not cursed of God. That is why I read to you in John chapter 8 these words. The Lord Jesus said to those that professedly were His disciples, He said, "If God were your Father, you would love Me." So here is a truth that is incontrovertible. No matter what a man says and teaches and does, if God is his Father, eventually he will love the Lord Jesus Christ. That is why when those that say they are Christians, and there are so many denominations and there are so many sects, all you have to do is to determine whether that man loves the Lord Jesus Christ. And if he does love the Lord Jesus Christ, then God is his Father. And if he does not love the Lord Jesus Christ, God is not his Father. And to love the Lord Jesus Christ involves more than just a confession of the lips that you love him. It is a confession like that of Peter's, who said, "You know all things. You know that I love you." And so for that reason, when someone from a denomination, someone from a sect, when a Jehovah's Witness would say, "Yes, I love Jesus," that is a lie, because he does not love the Lord Jesus. Because the Savior says, "Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not the things that I command you? And also, why do you not believe my words?" When the Word of God says, "I and my Father are one." When the Word of God says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." Now, if you love the Lord Jesus, you will believe everything that is written of the Lord Jesus concerning who he is and what he's done. But they will not confess that. And all of those that profess to be teachers of Christianity, if you ask them if they love the Lord Jesus and they say yes, well then you must believe everything that the Lord Jesus said about himself and about heaven and hell, and they will tell you, "No, I do not believe it." What happens is this: no matter how simple a man is, no matter how weak his knowledge is of the Word of God, there is an inward attachment to the Savior. There is something that has happened in his heart, and this is most important. It is not necessary to sit down with him and go over all of the fundamentals of the faith, but if a man loves the Lord Jesus Christ, eventually, when those fundamentals of the faith come up, he will learn them and he will accept them. This is what happened to that man that was born blind, who at the first had little knowledge of the Savior, who he was. And they kept asking him about the Lord Jesus, and he answered as best he could, but when he answered, his answers were unsatisfactory to the rulers of the synagogue, and so they cast him out. And so the Lord Jesus found him, and he asked this question, not about love, but, "Do you believe in the Son of God?" And he said, "Who is he, Lord, that I may believe?" And the Savior said, "Thou hast both seen him, and he it is that speaketh with thee." And he said, "Lord, I believe." What happens is this, that if a man truly believes, he will accept all the doctrines concerning the Lord Jesus Christ. And having accepted those doctrines, they are accepted because he loves the Lord Jesus Christ. No man can say, I love you, Lord. And the Savior will say, well then, you believe that I came out from God into the world, and I'm leaving the world and going back to the Father? You will find that they say they love the Lord, but it is a love that is limited, that comes short of the love that is genuine, that makes known to the Savior that you are born of God. Now, Peter said he loved the Lord, and the Lord accepted his testimony. But let me show you something that's a comfort to my heart and should be to yours. It says in John 8, if God were your Father, you would love me. And our Savior says concerning his disciples, Judas is gone now. He says to the disciples, he said, because you have loved me, my Father loves you. The Lord Jesus tells those disciples, you have loved me. And I thank God for that. The Bible says concerning them, they have loved the Lord. You say, well, you're not one of those disciples. No, but I'm included in this group. Peter himself, who said he loved the Lord, says this in his first epistle. It says, whom having not seen, you love. So thank God for that. Peter has told us that have confessed Christ as Savior with sincerity from the heart, he says, you love the Lord Jesus Christ, though you've never seen him. And the Lord Jesus says, you love me, Peter. I accept that testimony of yours because I'm reinstating you and I'm giving you the responsibility to feed my lambs and to take care of my sheep. That is the encouragement, and that is how we know that the Lord Jesus accepted the confession of Peter's love for him for this reason. If Peter had said, yes, Lord, you know that I love you, and the Savior had doubted it, had not been sure of it, he would say, well, I'll have to wait and see, and later on in your life, perhaps I'll believe that you love me, and I will give you a commission and let you do something for me to help the people of God. But each time that Peter said, Lord, you know all things, you know that I love you, he said, feed my lambs. Therefore, he believed him. Take care of my sheep. Tend and feed my sheep. So three times Peter said he loved the Lord, and three times the Lord accepted that testimony because he told him to take care of his sheep, to feed them, to tend to them. And for that reason, when Peter made that confession, we know that it was accepted of the Lord. Now, here is a question for us. If Jesus asked you and me, do you love the Lord? What would you tell him? And if you did tell him, would he believe you? At least Peter could say this. Had the Lord questioned Peter and said, well, I want you to prove to me that love. Peter had already told him in Matthew chapter 19, when the Savior was asking about rewards in the coming day, Peter said this, Lord, we have left everything and followed you. What are we going to have in that coming day? Peter could say, we have left everything. Father, mother, occupation, we've left everything and followed you. And so, for that reason, Peter had proof that he loved the Lord. And also, Peter had proof that he loved the Lord and that he was genuine because he had revelations to come from God, confessing who Jesus was. So with his lips confessing who Christ was, with his life of self-denial, he said, Lord Jesus, I love you. Now, when you say, yes, Lord, I love you, I think of the little trials that come up each day, and how miserably we fail. And therefore, if the Lord looked at those things, I wonder if He would say, well then, work for me, feed my lambs, feed my sheep, take care of the people of God. But Peter, on rare occasions, failed. On those failures that were so great, we dwell. But the life that he lived, the denials that he endured for the Lord Jesus Christ, we forget all of those, just like David. We fail to think of all that he did for God, and we think of that failure in Bathsheba, in Uriah the Hittite. We think of those things. But God looks at our lives as a whole. And if the Savior says, do you love me? It's time for us to think out our lives. And if we do say, Lord, you know that I love you, it may very well be that we've thought about the love of others, the great devotion they have to Christ, and in comparison with their devotion, we would not say, you know that I love you as much or more than all other Christians. I would never make that confession. But I insist upon this. Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. My love may be limited. It may be imperfect. And many times things in my life may deny that I love you. But you know all things, and I'm prepared to put that to the test. You, as God incarnate, I say, you know all things. You know that I love you. And so that is the challenge. Are you prepared to let Jesus, with his omniscience, look into your soul, your confession of faith, and say, you know all things. You know that I love you. And if you say, I do love you, then would the Lord Jesus give you an assignment to carry out among the people of God? What is so sad is this, that when the Savior said, if God were your Father, you would love me, the Bible speaks so much about things that we love other than the Lord Jesus, and he's aware of that. It says, this is the condemnation, that light is come to the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds are evil. We love darkness rather than light. Paul says this, men in the last days shall be lovers of money. They shall be lovers of themselves. And so, men shall be lovers of the glory of men more than the glory of God. So many things that we love that are not including the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we can love ourselves, and we can love money, we can love the glory of men, we can love the world, and that's what John says. He says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world, all that's in the world, the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, the pride of life. These are things that we can love. And the Lord Jesus asked the question, do you love me? And if we say, Lord, you know all things, you know that I love you, then I should think of the darkness that men love, and I should hate that darkness, and the love of money, and the love of self, and the love of the glory of men. I should think of the dangers of loving all those things, because they interfere with complete love of the Lord Jesus Christ, and that's what he demands. He says, if you love father or mother, son or daughter more than me, you are not worthy of me. And so when he asked, do you love me? Even though Peter's love was imperfect, he accepted that confession of love, and he used it. But I would think this, that Peter, having denied the Lord one time, said within his soul, I'll never do it again, and you never read that he did it again. When it meant his life, when he was testifying to the nation of Israel, he said, you crucified the Lord of life. He told them. And when they cast him into prison, and when they were ready to put him to death, he never denied the Lord again. And so, the areas in which we failed in the past, if the Lord restores our soul and we think of those failures, he does not want us to repeat those failures, to deny him with oaths and curses and also even to do this, to make a distinction among men. Tell me, do you believe that some Christians, black or white, rich or poor, are more important to the Lord and that He loves them more or less than you? Peter made that mistake. When the Gentiles came in, he would have no fellowship with them. And the Apostle Paul rebuked him to his face. And so there are so many things that would take away our love for the Lord. But the point is this, just as fruit is born by the seed sown by the sower, some 30-fold, some 60-fold, some 100-fold, thank God that I can say at least I'm among the 30-fold, and at least I love you, Lord Jesus, though that love is imperfect, and I am prepared to let you search my soul with your omniscience as the Son of God, and to know that I love you. That is what is important. So our Lord Jesus has this question to Peter, Simon, son of John, do you love me? And Peter says yes. And he would ask you and mention your name and who your father is and ask, do you love me? By God's grace, may we all be able to say, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love you. Time is gone. Let us pray. Our Father, we pray that you shall forgive us for all the things in our lives that deny that we love your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And we pray that as Peter failed, but we never read of that same failure again, that we shall not repeat these things that would deny that we love the Lord. We pray, our Father, that we will understand what is expected of us, and we remember that men said concerning the Lord Jesus, behold how we love Lazarus. Men could see that. And so may men look upon our lives and the words we speak and what we are and say, this man loves the Lord Jesus. Let them see in us something, Father, that is a revelation of what we do and think of your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And we are so thankful that you shall not pronounce us anathema, a curse, because we do love the Lord Jesus. So let us grow in that love toward Him. Let us be those, when the Lord Jesus asks, do you love me? Let us be able to say with Peter, Lord, you know all things. You know that we love you. In the name of Jesus Christ, the Lord, we pray. Amen. The meeting is over.